During your internet browsing or weekly podcast downloading binge, you have stumbled on the DC Breeze's Hot Air Podcast. The DC Breeze is a professional Ultimate team playing in the AUDL and representing Washington, D.C. My name is Greg Esser, and I am the host of this podcast. This week, I continue to preview the Breeze's 2016 roster, and I get to do so with guest Peter Pryle. Peter is a third-year player and 2016 captain of DC's elite club Ultimate team, Truck Stop. So a lot of exciting things have happened this week, and one of them is that the 2016 AUDL schedule has come out, and very exciting. There are 7 home games, 14 games total, but 7 home games for the DC Breeze on this calendar, and 2 of those games have been picked up by our partnership with ESPN, particularly ESPN3, and they will be broadcast live streaming on the web. Those 2 games take place on the 23rd of April, and that's one's against Toronto Rush, and there's another one on the 11th of June, and that one is against the New York Empire. In this podcast, I make a bold and incorrect claim that our opening home game is on the 6th of April. It is not. It is on the 10th of April. It is at 1:30. That is a Sunday, and that game is against the Ottawa Outlaws. I think that's most of the things out of the way before I kind of kick it over to the band Broke Royals. They play our intro music here at Hot Air. I also want to quickly thank our 2016 sponsors, Waveborn Sunglasses, Rose Physical Therapy Group, Oak Creek Apparel, WAFSE, Washington Area Frisbee Club, Big Board, and Papa John's. I think that is everything out of the way. Enjoy this week's episode of Hot Air.
Sitting here with Greg Esser. My name is Peter Pryle, guest host this week's Breeze podcast. Greg, how are you doing today?
Wow, one of the best intros we've had so far. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. As I told you a little bit earlier, I played in a rec league soccer game earlier today. My team won 3-1 to advance to the playoffs.
Wow, we're going to get all the different sports casts. You want to update us? Update us on some rec league soccer in DC. Obviously, we're going to talk all about the Breeze and the preseason on this episode. But tell me, any other sports that we want
to
quick?
Yeah. I'd love to just throw a shout out there to the Ultimate Friends basketball team. We play our games on Tuesday nights. Right now, we're undefeated so far in the season.
And what address and what time can we find you at this Tuesday night?
We'll be at Trinity University, Washington. Time unclear, at least to me right now.
Okay. So camp out.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Just go,
team colors in case I paint my chest?
Bright orange. Okay. I can show you the shirt before you go.
Okay, perfect. I think I might already have that in my body paint arsenal.
Oh, perfect. It's ideal.
So, as I just mentioned, I want to talk a little bit about some of the world tryouts that you've been involved in, as well as some of the current Breeze players are also on that team today on the podcast. I want to preview some of the roster we started on last episode on Hot Air, and then let's talk about some of the other rosters around the East Coast that have introduced themselves. Toronto put out a roster this past week, the Toronto Rush. The New York Empire put out a roster this past week, so we got a full agenda. In addition to those snippets of other sports teams around DC, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's get into it, Greg. Sounds
and
good.
The one ground rule I will set for this episode of Hot Air, as every other episode, is that puns play, and win puns particularly, as per the DC Breeze.
Perfect. I'll do my best to work something in. Good. I've been brainstorming a few. We'll see if I can get them in there.
You've been scheming to blow me away, I know it.
Greg. Classic.
Yeah, I've used that one before. I have experience.
You do have a little bit more experience than me, but I hopefully will make up for it with enthusiasm.
Right, and if you want to quick rip out your set of 20 push-ups and do those vocal warm-ups we talked about.
I've got my glass of tea right in front of me. If you hear me just coughing a little bit, it's just to try to, get my voice a little bit better for the audience out there, for
that,
all the fans.
That deep, sexy, leathery baritone that you're famous for.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so without further ado, so the first thing I want to talk about is you were recently down in Florida, and you're going to be over in London this summer with the USA Worlds team. You're on the open side.
Yep. And that's really exciting. And you've also got a couple other some of the players that are playing the Breeze this year are going to be your fellow teammates. That's guys like Tom Doy, that's Nick Spiva, that's Alan Kolick. And then also in the mix, even though I guess they're not playing with you, you know, Dutchie's going to be over there coaching. Is he coaching the women's side?
Dutchie's coaching the men's team.
He's coaching the men's team. Okay, so you're right with Dutchie.
Yeah.
And then Sarah Ito, another coach of the Breeze, is going to be over there playing herself.
Yeah, let me. I'll actually throw out a few more players because I think you're shortchanging the Breeze in terms of Worlds players. Jonathan Helton, the Goose.
Oh, that's true.
Is playing on the men's team.
And Brett Matsuka.
With Tom, Alan, and myself. And then Brett Matsuka is playing on the mixed team with Nikki and Sarah Ito.
The geographic diversity of the Breeze failed me, and I started listing DC players and not Breeze players.
Yeah. So I think we're all, you know, obviously pretty excited about the opportunity to represent the USA and play in London. Should be a really great time.
So tell me more about the tryout process. I mean, you went down there. What's mentally going on in your head when you show up at tryouts? And then also, well, I mean, that's the first question. You know, how do you approach this? It's tryout season for everyone, for club.
Right.
So how do we replicate the magic that is Peter Pryor?
If only it were so easy. I went down to the tryouts just focusing on playing my best. I knew there were things that the coaches, Dutchie and BVH, and then the other people who were evaluating talent, Dylan Tunnel was there helping out. And I knew there were, you know, a few things they'd be looking for. They want people who are going to be able to play really solid, sound defense that's going to help you put you in a good position to make any team. And then sort of in addition to that, I just wanted to put my best foot forward on the offensive side, make sure they knew how hard I would work and, you know, whether or not I can make big plays. Hopefully, or not hopefully, but luckily I was able to make a few over the course of the weekend. So I was pretty happy that Dutchie and BVH chose me for the team.
Nice. So talk a little bit more then. I mean, so you're a guy that's played a ton in Boston with Ironside. You play in D.C. currently with Truck Stop. This year you're a captain of Truck Stop. Talk a little bit about kind of walking into that environment. And obviously the Ultimate community is a pretty inclusive, open place where you know a lot of players. But really talk to having played with a lot of those players already.
Yeah, so I'd played, you know, obviously with all the DC guys that were down there. Not only Tom, Alan, and Nikki, but Markham Schaffner was also there. David Cranston was there.
Other Breeze guys.
Breeze guys, exactly. Jeff Wodach played the weekend before in on the West Coast tryout. And Nate Castine was invited to tryout, but unfortunately wasn't able to make it. And so I just played with, you know, all those Truck Stop guys, Breeze guys before. And so there was definitely an advantage for me just having a little bit of familiarity with the other guys on the field.
Nice. And what does it mean to show up in London and have a lot of, again, those former teammates either on the field or on the sideline if they're playing mixed?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much looking forward to it. I think, you know, it's, at least for me, it's very comforting to know that Tom and Alan are on the team with me. And then Josh Marquette, who I played with earlier when I was up in Boston.
Yep.
I love playing with all three of those guys, you know, so I'm very, very excited to have the opportunity to represent our country together. And, you know, I'm really excited about playing with a bunch of new guys, too. I think, you know, it'll be an interesting experience trying to put everything together just because we only have a few practice weekends.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it should be a fun time, and I'm really looking forward to the challenge.
So let's use some of those names that you already mentioned, because I think the goal of kind of these preseason podcasts to some degree is to talk about, you know, what we can expect out of some of the rosters. There's been a lot of, I mean, over it's 4 years now of Breeze history, 5 years of AUDL total history. I think the expectations for players change year to year, but also there's been a lot of turnover, and that's very true in the Breeze's case. So I want to talk about some of these players entering a new league and kind of, you know, your gut having played with them before, what kind of things we can expect to see out of them.
Yeah, so absolutely. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so right off the bat, you know, with a couple names we already mentioned there are Markham Schaffner and Alan Kolick. Two guys, friends of the podcast. They've been on hot air themselves, so, you know, a lot of celebrity kudos.
Yeah, a lot of love for you, Greg.
Yeah,
that's great.
Sure.
Don't be modest.
I'm blushing now. And so I want to talk to you about those guys. They make up the kind of a big part of the handler core of Truck Stop. You know, what do you expect out of a guy? I mean, from my view of Markham, if you want to gather your thoughts, why I kind of preface this. I mean, he's a guy that's it's a little huck happy. He's a guy that's maybe responsible for putting the disc, you know, all 80 yards of the field. A defensive minded kind of guy. You know, does that jive with kind of how you played with him? And what do you consider kind of some of his strengths on the field?
Yeah, definitely jives with what I've noticed over the few years I've played with Markham. I'll say, you know, having him on the field and when he has the disc opens up everything for you, which is amazing as a cutter.
Yeah.
Just being able to...
You become a threat anywhere.
You become a threat anywhere, exactly. You know, I can start my deep cut 40 yards away from Markham and he can still hit me in stride, which is very rare to have somebody who has that kind of raw power in their throws. And I think having that on the field, especially the bigger AUDL field, is going to be a huge benefit to the Breeze this year.
Yeah, I think I am interested. I mean, I think part of it is just Markham being Markham, but part of it is also how Dutchie plans to use him. And so Dutchie's a guy that we've seen run two very successful campaigns with Scandal, with all-stars like Sandy Jorgensen and Octavia Payne, Opie, where he, on D-line particularly, he says, you know, go huck it. You're strong players, and you can go the whole field. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, maybe it's partially just what Markham will do in the moment, but partially what Dutchie gives him the keys to do.
Yeah, no, for
sure.
On that D-line. For sure. And I, you know, I'm excited to see how much leeway Dutchie gives him in terms of what he's going to let Markham throw and what he's going to let him do. You know, he's one of the most talented throwers I've ever played with. And when he is engaged and clicking and on, he is almost unstoppable in terms of his throws.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then I think in some way there's a yin and a yang thing going on between Markham and Kolek. And that is that if Markham is the guy that opens up the deeper stuff, and I think Kolek can throw that stuff too, but Kolek's a guy that maybe gets Markham into those power positions, take those power positions himself. He's a guy that moves it around the backfield horizontally a lot more, a lefty thrower that breaks the mark at will. What are your thoughts on Kolek?
Yeah, I mean, Allen's obviously a great player. I think the things that he does really well, or the thing he does exceptionally well, this the sort of the thing that I think is his best attribute, is he can really take over a game just in terms of what he can do offensively. You know, he can get upline cuts at ease, which is really going to drive an offense moving down the field. When he gets those upline cuts, he's not afraid to throw it deep, which is great to have, and he has great hucks, both flicks and backhands, and he can break the mark very, very easily.
Sure.
Being left-handed obviously helps him a little bit.
Yeah.
I wish I threw left-handed myself.
So I'm a lefty, though, and I don't quite have that. it's not all left-handedness.
Yeah, no.
Let me tell you.
But he, he's a great player. And, you know, the part of the game that people don't talk about when they talk about Allen is how good he is defensively.
Yeah.
He's one of the best defenders that will step on the field no matter what game he's playing in.
Yeah.
Which is, obviously, you know, extremely helpful to have whether he's going to play offense or defense.
Again and again, I watch discs get close to Allen and, you know, his hand speed and his arm speed to just make that last, you know, split second grab at the disc again and again results in him coming down with it.
Yeah, it's surprising too because he's got such skinny arms. You know, how he can get him to move so quickly without the muscle.
No muscle, all tendon.
All tendon. Yeah. That must be what the secret is.
Yeah.
You know?
We gotta work your tendons more. Don't build up muscle mass.
That's my first mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's those are two players that I think we all look forward to seeing in the Stars and Stripes this year. And then talk about some other players that you know you've that play truck stop and you played with previous years. Chuck Cantone is one that jumps to mind that we haven't talked about a lot on this podcast. A guy that I've seen pretty rarely. I mean, he's a guy that you played with. Talk to me about Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck's a great player. He lives down in Richmond, so you know that might be why he's a little unheard of or unheralded. But I played with him last year on the DC Current, and he was a huge, huge player for us, both offensively and defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Just very, very solid all around on offense. Would never turn the disc over. Great throws when he needed to use them. And then defensively, he was continually getting big blocks for us, particularly D's on undercuts, layout D's on undercuts, which a lot of players are a little hesitant to do, and it's, you know, a difficult skill to get, but Chuck was huge for us, instrumental in the success we had.
It takes a closing speed that is quite unique to get all those under blocks like that.
Yeah.
And he had six of them last year in the MLU, but I should say that Chuck also comes with some great AUDL experience, as he was a player that put up 27 goals for the Montreal Royale in 2015. or sorry, 2014. This was 2 years ago. So he comes with AUDL creds. He's put up 27 goals, which is not easy to do in this league. So I think there's a lot of exciting things about having him join the Breeze.
Yeah, Chuck's a great player. He would love to, I'm sure he would love to come on the podcast and talk to you in French about his time on the Royal.
Yeah,
if that's something you'd be interested in.
I don't know if I can hang with that.
In all French podcasts.
I think the extent of my French is like, je suis un petit gâteau, which is I'm a cookie.
Oh.
But I don't know much more.
Greg, that's so sweet.
Yeah. I don't even know how to actually, I mean, I feel like you should be... Maybe if I were able to compliment you and call you a cookie.
Well, that's something you say when you're trying to woo a woman. You know,
right.
You tell her that you're a cookie and she's a cookie. I feel like a few more words would be perfect
if I could conjugate to be
right,
in
exactly.
order to
exactly.
refer to someone else, man,
exactly.
I'd be unstoppable.
I'm sure Google Translate could help you out in this one particular instance.
That might be right. So talk to me more about guys that I think have taken some leadership roles, certainly with the Breeze, but also with Truck Stop in the past. Let's talk a little bit about like the Brad Scott or the Ben Fangs of the world. Two guys that are leaders on the Breeze, particularly.
Yeah, two guys who've been on the Breeze for a few years.
And, this is their third year each, I believe.
And then they each signed long term contracts.
That's right.
If memory serves. So you're going to be watching them for a while.
That's true.
And I, you know, if I were you, I'd be excited about watching them for a while.
You can come and watch.
I, as me, am excited about watching them. So everybody out there listening to this podcast should also be excited about them. Ben is just rock solid defensive handler. I think, you know, what he does well, he brings a ton of effort and intensity on the field. Typically the first person down on the pole, which is something that's extremely important for a defensive line. And then after the turnover, you know, very unselfish player, puts himself in positions to help the team have greater success moving the disc on offense, whether or not he touches it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, and to that kind of, yes, he plays that handler role. Sometimes he'll play that handler role almost coming out of the stack, both on offense and defense. And he has a footwork about him that I've seen, interestingly, in the club scene, get called for travel sometimes. Very quick footwork upon receiving the disc. And so that's why I'm particularly interested always in Ben Fang's professional play, because that then the officiating, I think, is at least a little bit more consistent, because it is referees that know that the way that he, you know, is decelerating and not changing direction is still a legal movement.
Yeah, first time I met Ben Fang was actually up in Boston. We were playing in a
Tell
winter
me a story.
League, winter league against one another. This must have been the winter of 2012 to 2013,
also known as the winter of malcontent.
Well, not for me.
Not for you.
Maybe for Ben, after you hear the story, you can tell me whether or not
that's true. Okay.
But I just, you know, the story actually isn't going to be that great. Now that it's
forget the story.
Now that it's had a little bit of buildup. But he, first time I noticed him playing, I was like, man, that kid is good. And then I noticed whenever he got the disc, he traveled every single time he threw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to myself, well, that kid is good. I hope he learns not to travel. So it's good to know that he doesn't get called for that many when he's playing for the Breeze.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way that he does it is within the letter of the law. So it's just a very, I think, good usage of his feet.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to watch him play. You know, he's a younger player, you know, in his early to mid-20s, and I think he's got a lot of room to grow, both offensively and defensively. And I think if he's taken the steps to put himself in better positions to do that, it's going to be a very good season for him, both club and pro.
Yeah, and then a young guy for sure, and the younger of the two, though, Brad Scott.
He's only
a year or two out of college, I think, here.
Yeah. He played for Truck Stop last year. It was his first year on the team, and he just fit in. He just fit in seamlessly.
Actually, there was a pun hidden in there, because his threads and garb are also what he is somewhat known for. So to fit in seamlessly is actually a great play on Brad Scott.
Greg, phenomenally well done.
Yeah.
Great perception. No, but he fit in very well with our defensive line on Truck Stop last year. He put a lot of points for us, a lot of big points, guarding both handlers and cutters, which... You know, it's great to have that sort of versatility on the team.
Sure.
And we, you know, even though it was his first year playing sort of high-level club, we put him, you know, in tough situations and tough matchups. I remember a game we had to win in the pre-quarters against Sub-Zero. He was guarding one of their best players in Simon Montague pretty much the entirety of the game.
Sure.
Which is, you know, as somebody who is playing on Truck Stop for their first year, and their first year playing at a really high level of club was something that I was really excited about. So I'm excited to see the growth in his game over the course of this coming season.
Certainly, yeah, that's a quick leap into very high responsibility roles.
Yeah, exactly. And he took that responsibility and ran with it, which is another reason I'm sort of excited to see what comes next for Brad.
Yeah, so another, those guys are returners. Another returner from last year that I think you've had the opportunity to play with as well is David Bolin-Colchin.
The Duke, yes.
The Duke.
I've had the opportunity to play with him for the past 2 years on Truck Stop.
Yeah.
And I played with him 1 year on the DC Current before he switched over to play in the Breeze last year.
So tell me about what comes with the bestowal of a title like Duke.
Oh, well, I actually have no clue why he's called Duke. So if any listeners know the story, I would love it if you could just shoot me an email, find me on Twitter.
Twitter, yeah. What's your Twitter? You going to drop a Twitter handle?
Oh, okay. Am I allowed to do that?
Please do.
Oh, yeah. My Twitter handle is at PJ Prial, PJPRIAL. I think I'm at like 450 followers right now.
That's fancy.
But I'm always looking to go up.
Yeah, that's certainly more followers than I have at the Greg Esser. And then so if you tweet at either of those handles, we'll certainly get the news. That's also, of course, if you want feedback or general thoughts on the podcast itself.
Yeah, if you have feedback about the podcast and it's negative, please send it to Greg. But positive stuff, tweet at me. I'd be happy to respond to that.
I'm okay with that. I think I actually often say that I think Twitter is largely for yelling. So if you know, either bring it on.
Well, it's 140 characters worth of yelling, so you yell in short bursts. You know?
Sure.
Ah! But,
and then also the one last, as long as we're talking about Twitter, at the DC Breeze, of course, we'll also find either one of us, certainly me, and there's a great place to voice your opinion or anger at the Hot Air Podcast.
Yes. Yeah. All anger goes to at the DC Breeze or at the Real Mary.
I'm sorry to have spoiled Duke's introduction with our thoughts of angry Twitter, but go on about Duke.
Duke's a man who needs no introduction, though, so I think it's fitting that we're talking about Twitter as we were talking about him.
Okay.
He's a great player. He's also extremely versatile, which is great. He's played both offense and defense for Truck Stop. I don't know how many people listening to this podcast. I assume most of them have seen the highlight of Duke tracing down that layout catch at the end of the game last year.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was a buzzer beater in the first half of the season last year. Jarnell put deep into the end zone, and it doesn't look like he's got a shot, and then he just kicks it into fifth gear.
But that's sort of Duke's mentality too. I feel like a lot of players would have given up on that disc early, but it's not in Duke to give up like that. And you know, it's just a testament to his character that he's willing to work that hard to go chase a disc that a lot of people would you know, find themselves and they deem it uncatchable.
Yeah.
But, you know, Duke's a great player, probably an even better teammate than player, if we're being perfectly honest. Always keeping people in stitches on the sideline. Very funny. He likes to drink ginger beer. Feels like it replenishes his energy, which...
I did not know that about
which
him.
Which I find amazing. So if anybody who's listening to this is a... ginger beer enthusiast, you've got a kindred spirit in the Duke.
Yeah, sponsors maybe?
Let's hope so.
Seems like Duke should have a side sponsorship with ginger beer.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, so actually, I think this is the thing that I haven't talked about a lot on Hot Air that I'm interested to maybe get some of your more generalized thoughts about, is I think, you know, certainly players, we're looking for players, and all the teams that you and I have played for look for players that can turn it on the field. But I think... You know, maybe some of the times, 90, 95% of the reason you're selecting a player is because of what they put up on the field. But there's this intangible thing.
Oh, it's a big part of being on a team.
So maybe I'm even underselling it. I mean,
yeah.
I think you're taking players sometimes that, you know, hold their own on the field, but, like, make the players around them better on and off the field.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Duke that fits that category, maybe.
Duke definitely fits that category. Sort of someone who's taking the edge off all the time. Great teammate, very positive on the sidelines, which is extremely helpful. And I think that's something that if you're trying out for a team in the future, something that is going to put you in a good spot is always being positive, always being encouraging, good talk on the sidelines, both to the defense and to the offense. You know, having those sort of intangible assets is only going to be a plus and only going to bolster your case to make a team if you can show to the captains and the coaches that you possess that.
Yeah, I think I think that deltas really well into John Pressamone, who's a fourth-year Breeze player himself, who is a guy that certainly holds his own on the field and played, I think, nearly every game last year. but is a fan favorite and a guy on the sideline that keeps you loose. I mean, when the DJ at Breeze games in past years has played his song, which turns out is most songs, you know, he's dancing on the sideline and keeping guys loose and like getting the crowd behind him.
I have noticed that he does that.
Yeah,
which is, it's great to see players that are having a good time, keeping it loose, keeping their teammates loose, trying to get the crowd into it. I think, you know, it's such a great experience to go to a professional game, to go to a Breeze game and see, you know, players are really enjoying themselves, and I think it's sort of infectious for the crowd.
Yeah. Another returner that I wanted to make sure I mentioned is Matt Carrigan. And he was really the superstar of the Breeze last year, having a 30-30 season, 33 assists and 37 goals, also putting up 12 Ds in the meantime. A guy that had not played truck, he plays Medmen up in Baltimore, but kind of came to play for the Breeze last year, showed off his stuff, and he's going to find another repeat roster spot this year. So I think he's exciting to have in the mix. I'll be interested to see if he can hit those numbers just because the roster around him is getting so much better, and therefore I think, naturally, I just don't think he can play the fourth most points in the team again.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, any player is going to tell you that what they really value the most is team success, and I think...
Or at least the guys that have that 10% off the field that we just kept talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, but I think, you know, anybody would tell you that they'd willingly sacrifice, you know, assists or goals, you know, personal stats for the team. And I'm sure that, you know, Matt's going to be put in good situations to be successful this coming season. You know, I've never played with him personally. I've never played with John Pressman personally either. But they're both great players. It's going to be fun to watch them and sort of watch and see how the Breeze veterans integrate with all these new players that are coming onto the team this year.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. So the interesting thing that happened this week that I wanted to kind of get your opinion on and some of your thoughts are the Breeze roster. I think it's, you know, 22 out of 28 at this point, so six more names. Exciting to see what those final six names are going
to
be.
Yeah, I think it'll be really exciting to see who's going to end up making the team and you know, representing DC on the AUDL stage.
Yeah, so when you look down this roster list, and I don't know if I can pull it up here quickly or not. I don't think I can, actually. There it is.
Greg, wizard over here.
Wizard of computers. I've been called before. And that I know that they plug in and have electricity in them. But anyway, so here's the Breeze roster in front of you. Is there any, when you look at this roster and you're a guy that's helping construct the truck stop team this year, when you look down this roster, is there a role that you can define that you say, you know, hey, I think this team is a couple, you know, defensive handlers away from, I think this team is like a little height away from, like, you know, stretching the deep space as much as I think a team in the professional leagues needs to do.
Yeah.
Is there a role on this roster that you say,
I think the roster is actually pretty well balanced right now. You know, there are a bunch of great handlers on the team. You know, we've mentioned Markham and Allen, but we haven't even, you know, mentioned Brett or Bob.
We talked about some of those guys last week, so hopefully viewers will remember and you can tune back into that. I think it's episode number 11 of, or 12 of Hot Air. But yeah, I think you're right. We didn't talk about them today for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, so there are great handlers on the team. There are great cutters on the team. You know, didn't talk about Matt McDonald, David Cranston, Jeff Wodach, Brian Marshall, Tom Doyle. Like,
yeah.
I could go on and on about all the players on the team. I think the team's going to be very successful this year, and I think Dutchie's actually done a very good job of having good roster balance as he's building the roster out.
Mm.
And so I think, you know, just having a little bit more depth in all the positions is going to be helpful.
So talk to me a little bit about something kind of radically different. So as I said, the Breeze roster...
Let's do it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Radically different on the podcast.
That's an AUDL pun. There's the Madison Radicals, of course. Not a Breeze pun, though. We're working on that. So this week, though, the Toronto Rush put out a roster, and they had a couple of Boston guys in the mix, actually.
A few Boston guys.
And the New York Empire put out their roster. Are there guys on this list that you say, you know, well, so how did you approach the GOAT team, or the Ironside team that now comprise a lot of the Toronto Rush, or the Pony team, these are club teams, that now comprise a lot of the New York Empire? And do you want to talk to kind of... I don't know, this is maybe a challenging question about how a lot of your fellow truck teammates match up on GOAT to start with.
Yeah, well, I don't even need to explain it because we played against them last year.
It's true.
And
you can go find the footage.
I Actually, as I said, I don't need to explain it. I'm pretty sure I do need to explain it because I don't think it was filmed.
okay.
But we played against Goat, we being Truck Stop, played against Goat at Nationals last year in one of our pool play games.
Uh-huh.
And we ended up beating them on double game point, 14-13, I believe.
Okay.
And so, obviously, the two teams were fairly evenly matched. I think, you know, looking back on it, we probably didn't play a terrific game against them. Which is a credit to the pressure they put on our offensive line to secure goals, and then, you know, their offensive line being very successful against Truck Stop's defense in terms of not allowing us to break them. But with that being said, you know, I think the Breeze will match up pretty well against the Rush. You know, the Rush has a few guys from Boston Ironside. Alex Simmons is going to be traveling there. Will Neff is going to be traveling there.
Rusty
Ingold Smith.
Yep.
All of whom I've played with before, great guys, love them to death.
But they will lose.
But, well,
no, I'm sorry.
Wow, that's bold, great, very bold.
You heard it here first?
But, you know, I think the DC Breeze match up well against them. I think, you know, Breeze have a few very, very strong defensive players who are going to be put in good positions against some of Toronto's bigger name players, uh-huh. You know, Mark Lloyd, Isaiah Mazzucchelli. Probably Will Neff will be playing offense as well. Although I have no insider information to know whether that's true or not.
But talk as if you know, and
yeah, I like to pretend I know most things, then like people can tell me whether or not I know about them.
Yeah, one of the themes of Hot Air actually is pretending we know.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the DC Breeze match up well against them, and I think offensively the Breeze are going to be very, very strong. I think they're a bunch of very good players in terms of their throws. In terms of their cutting.
Yeah, so when you talk about a Goat Truck Stop matchup per se, do you think of it as a matchup of some of the top defensive powerhouses? Do you think about it as pretty evenly matched on both offense and defense? How would you characterize, at least at the club level, what that matchup would look like?
Yeah, I think at the club level is probably a fairly even matchup.
Yeah.
I think.
But do you think of Truck Stop as a defensive powerhouse? That's matching, or you think that these both very balanced rosters that will duke it out both on offense and defense?
Yeah, I think for Truck Stop at least, we were a very balanced roster last year. I think our defense was very strong at getting blocks, and then I think throughout the course of the season, we progressed and became a very effective defensive line offense in terms of securing those blocks and making them breaks. And then I think, you know, throughout the course of the year, our offense was fairly strong. We had a few blips and a few games where we were a little less successful, but I think generally, you know, the offense and the defense were both very strong on Truck Stop last year.
Yeah.
I would sort of characterize Goat very similarly as well. I think, you know, they have a bunch of big name players playing for their offensive line, but then they also have great depth defensively. They can run with anyone. Some of their D-line players are really, really athletic. Which obviously helps them in terms of getting the blocks, and then they're very successful putting them in throughout the course of the year, last year as well.
And what if you turn that equation over and talk a little bit more about the New York Empire that are composed of a lot of pony guys? Here's a team you didn't play at Nationals last year because they didn't make the cut, actually.
Earlier
in the season, you guys did match up against them a couple times.
Yeah, we played against them at the U.S. Open, which was a good game for Truck Stop. I think we won something like 15-6.
Okay.
It was the end of a long day for both teams, and I think they were a little bit drained, running out of gas.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, obviously be a closer matchup if we were to play them when they were fresh and sort of both rosters
which
were all put
which
together.
Which is the professional format. Yeah.
Which is the professional format, exactly. Yeah. You know, I think the Empire have a lot of very strong players, a lot of very strong players that the players on the Breeze have already gone up against.
Yeah.
And I'll be interested to see sort of how Truck Stop versus Pony translates into Breeze versus Empire, at least in terms of the individual matchups, sort of on a bigger field.
Yeah, when I think about the Empire and Pony for that matter, I think of a lot of kind of some of their smaller defenders that are really great at marking on handlers. And I think that starts to take away some of the strengths that we talked about in the Schaffners or the Colas getting the disc back every other throw, taking over a point, as we talked, mm-hmm. those guys like to do. But that, in turn, turns the first cuts out of the stack a lot of times and do, you know, guys that need to be playmakers. And I think the Breeze have those too.
Yeah.
So I think even if you're forcing that first look to be upfield, that doesn't really deter what I think of the roster of the Breeze.
No, I think I would agree with that sentiment. You know, the Empire definitely have strong players, especially handler defenders. I know former teammate of mine, Chris Kotcher, who played on Truck Stop
sure.
in 2014.
And a former Breeze guy, 2014 as well.
Yeah, really? Yeah, exactly. And he's a, you know, huge pickup for them. He's a very solid defender. And so it'll be interesting to see who the Empire have him match up on when they come down and play the Breeze.
Yeah. And there's a pair of brothers that go with the last name Drost that play very good handler defense as well. Certainly another interesting matchup to look at this year.
Yeah, should be good games. I think the East Division of the AUDL is just continually getting better and better, and so I'm excited to go to the games and see what happens.
Cool. Well, hopefully I'll see you out there, and then you and I can discuss all of our predictions and see what's coming true, and maybe even have you back on the podcast, because I quite enjoyed this.
Oh, Greg, it's been great for me, too.
Yes. Well, good. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Hot Air. as I said in the past, I think the goal is to get out one of these podcasts every two or so weeks, we've got an opening day coming up on April 6th at Gallaudet University. I believe that is a Sunday. I believe that game is against the Ottawa Outlaws traveling into town.
Yeah, should be a good game. I'm looking forward to getting out there and watching it.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Peter, and everyone out there in podcast land. Adios.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.